And you are listening to FOW Live on the FOW Radio Network. I am Patrick. With me, as always, Danny Danger. Danny, it is our holiday edition.
It is the holidays. We are just around the corner from Christmas, and New Year's will be following shortly thereafter. Followed shortly thereafter by my birthday / Wrestle Kingdom Day. So it's a great time. It's a great time of the year.
Yeah. Some may say the most wonderful time
of the year. Well, I guess it's debatable, right?
I mean, some made a song that, about it.
Yeah, well, you know, there's songs about, you know, lots of things that doesn't mean it's true.
No. Well, it is a wonderful time of the year. So here we are. So much going on in this world of professional wrestling.
Always, I feel like it's kind of an always thing, which is why we're able to do a podcast weekly.
Yeah. So why don't we start with Final Battle?
Final Battle.
So we talked about Final Battle. Happening.
Yeah, we talked about some of the matches that were, you know, announced.
Yeah. So let's go through it and then let's go ahead and proceed. So we had the pre-show. So total of 14 matches.
Yeah. You know, always we can't do just a 6 or 7 match card. It always has to be like 17 matches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Six-hour extravaganza.
Last we talked, it was like 6 matches.
Oh yeah, so, 6 announced matches, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Got in the pre-show 4 matches. Okay. Taya Valkyrie versus Jasmine Allure.
Okay. Let me rephrase. We have Taya in the pre-show, but you know, whatever Jeff you want to do.
Mm-hmm. I know, right? And you're having Taya versus Rachel Ellery on their weekly non-television TV.
Yeah, the Ring of Honor weekly show. Yeah, it's the non-televised television show.
I mean, I don't know about you, but me, that's an pay-per-view caliber match.
I certainly would agree with that. You know, you give them a little bit of time and let those ladies do what they do. But you know, yet again, we don't get paid to make those kind of decisions. Mm-hmm. People who make a lot more money than us get paid to make these kind of decisions. I make the
decision. Indeed, they do. Okay. Let me see. Where else are we here? Lost my spot. The Venerics defeated the Outrunners. Okay. So, you know.
I don't know. Who were the Outrunners again?
Turbo Floyd and Truth Magnum.
Gotcha. I know even less about them now that I've heard their names.
You knew as much as I did.
Yeah, yeah.
But, hey, it's Texas, so you got to have the Venerics thrown in there.
Yeah, and they got the movie coming out and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I heard that apparently MJF had a lot more scenes, but apparently they cut him out of the movie.
They apparently, like, cut him completely out of the movie, last I heard.
Oh, did they?
Like, he had several scenes. But I supposedly, you know, one of the Elder Von Erichs, who was kind of acting as, you know, consultant, didn't like the character, because I think MJF's character was not like a Von Erich by birth, but they were bringing him in and they're right. like, oh, this guy's a Von Erich because he looks kind of like you guys, whatever, we'll put him together.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow he didn't like that. He felt that they didn't emphasize enough that he wasn't actually related.
Mm.
And so that's apparently what the guy didn't like. So they snipped around his minor character, and he's pretty much completely on the cutting room floor from what I mean. Like, you watch the final product and he is not, and you do not see his character at all. I mean, wow. You get the paycheck either way, but at the same time, like, it kind of sucks. You put in all that work and then nobody sees it. You know, it's almost like wrestling in a wrestling match in front of very few people with the hope that maybe this is being recorded and it will hit streaming and maybe you can take it and show it to other people and all this. And then, you know what? We don't know where the footage is. We don't know what happened to it. And now only those 30 people who were in attendance saw your wrestling match.
Wow.
I mean, not that I'm speaking from personal experience across multiple promotions or anything, but you know, it must suck.
Mm-hmm. And of course, out of the
oh my gosh!
What the heck is that?
Hey! Disconnect from the Matrix before you try talking to us, dude. Okay.
Mika, you
gotta unplug, man.
I don't gotta do nothing. No, I refuse.
If you can hear that buzzing, that means they're listening, okay?
Mika, what part of the universe are you in?
The Matrix. The fucking Matrix.
I'm in the part of the universe where you can actually see those shows where the 30 people saw them. I've got, you know, the universal access, we'll call it.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Like some kind of omnipotent presence. That's yeah, outstanding.
No, I like to think that is the super signal that Mika had to hit so we can actually hear her. Because remember, she's, you cannot, it sounds like she's outside trying to talk before, so.
Typically,
maybe
you have
to press this button.
Yeah. Or it sounds like you're down the hallway and your phone's inside the bathroom and you're down the hall trying to yell at it.
Mika, if
there's
you want
really so much I can do.
I mean, that's true. That's true. And we're going to heckle you regardless, so you might as well just do what you're going to do.
Mika, if you want us to announce your answers, I could have played you a song. You know, you did not have to do that. Yeah.
I like to make my own special entrances, and then you can, you know, play music after. Hey, Cody, don't fear for your life. Well, it's okay to fear for your life because I may take it. You never know. I mean, I can't say for sure because it's premeditated if I do. So, you know, it is what it is.
All right. So we're talking final battle right now. We're still on the pre-show because this is like a gazillion matches. And I think by this time, it might have been like 9 p.m. All right, Brian Keith defeated Jack Cartwheel. Don't know Jack Cartwheel. Of course, Brian Keith, he's been around here in the South.
Brian Keith's really good. I like him a lot. I would hope that they would use him a lot more. He's one of those guys who's pretty much on that, like, that cusp of being top tier on the indie scene. You know, he's done a lot with PWG. DPW over here in the Carolinas in the South. You know, he's hitting all the spots. He's hitting good opponents. It's just kind of, he's on that cusp of breaking into that upper echelon of independent talent. You know, which hopefully will lead to more money and possibly a TV spot for him.
Yeah.
Jack Cartwheel is not bad. He's that next new up-and-coming young independent talent. So don't sleep on the name and go, who is this kid? This is a corny name. He is really talented. I've seen him in a couple of shows now and watched some stuff back. I've seen him live a couple of times and watched some of his stuff back. he's going to be big if he keeps, you know, kind of growing his portfolio of matches. You'll be talking a lot more about Jack Cartwheel.
Is he a West Coast guy? Is that where he's from?
No, he's an East Coast guy, as far as I can tell. Like this side of the country,
Northeast Coast. Okay,
kind of northeast. Yeah.
Okay, I mean north to us. You know,
everything is north to you guys. Yeah.
Pretty much. That's why we in the deep. We in the dirty. We in the dirty, dirty.
I don't think that's what they call it, but what else?
I mean, you just left the A, man. You should know. You should know what they'd be calling it.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Cody. I think you were trying to join this call briefly. It looks like I missed that. You're welcome to try that again when I'm actually looking at the screen. My apologies there.
English is not my first language. Patrick can't.
English is not my first language. Sorry. I can't always read in English.
Oh, Lord.
So, pardon the, you know, the Mexican lookalike in me. All right, Cody, can you hear us? Because can I hear you?
Yeah, you just said Mexican. That was weird.
But well, yeah. if you knew what I looked like, you would think I was Mexican.
He's Peruvian, but most people just assume he's Mexican.
I was gonna say, yeah, is it Machu Picchu? Central America. I mean, it's all this.
I mean, most white people just look at a Latino and assume he's from Mexico, regardless, unless he like is, you know, draped in Puerto Rican flag or something. They just assume they're from Mexico.
Yeah. If you hear me yelling "Black Bunny," then you "Bad Bunny," then you probably think I'm Puerto Rican. Otherwise, no. I usually get the whole "Go Back to Mexico" chant. But,
Well, I as an American, I don't ever get that. I get the whole "Go Back to America" chant, but I'm already in America, so.
Well, unless you're in Alabama, then you're in Alabama.
You mean incest land?
I wouldn't necessarily call it that, but, you know, there's a reason for all the family reunion. So, Cody, did you watch Ring of Honor last Friday night?
Shawn Marion?
No. Wrestling.
No.
No? Are you even a wrestling fan?
Watched it growing up.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. What era? What period of time was this?
Remember when the WCW and the WWF split off into two factions?
Okay, so we're talking 2001.
When the Rock was still saying what the Rock was cooking, you had Ric Flair and Vince McMahon. You know, when the McMahon brothers were splitting off, and you know what era I'm talking about. Yeah,
but yeah,
about
yeah, the yeah,
early
yeah.
2000s. Yes.
Yeah. Right. As we were transitioning from the Attitude Era into the
we're talking about Mankind, Diamond Dallas Page. Steve Austin, Triple H, I mean, all the best. And I hated it, but I still love it.
We all have a love-hate relationship with professional wrestling. It's just kind of what it does.
So I usually don't meet your kind, Cody. So, at what point did you stop, watching wrestling, when did you realize you needed to go back to being normal?
Never. All right. So what we did was we decided we were going to do our own backyard wrestling, and we started this whole thing to where we're jumping off roofs in the swimming pools and breaking tables, and Before we went back to normal, we went 1,000% in. We didn't go back. We went forward 1,000%. And you know, started making aluminum foil chairs, you know, like things you can break over people's backs. No, we did not go back. And but what actually happened was, it wasn't that we didn't know it was fake in the beginning. It's just that when we were like 13 years old and we realized that we were doing it more real than the grown men were, it just kind of makes you lose a little bit of faith. We're like, well, we're little kids and we're actually hitting each other with real chairs and they're doing fake stuff. It just, and then all of a sudden we're going into high school and it's like, well, we can't be pretending to be hitting each other with aluminum foil and try to be picking up chicks. So I think once we realized that we wanted to be hooking up with chicks, that we had to put the chairs down for a second, and it's not real fighting. It's just not real. Fake fighting. But it's fun because I went to theater class. And I think that, you know, it's the showmanship. It's, you know, it's, there's no difference than Quentin Tarantino making a movie. So I'm not ever going to knock on it. I just, right about the time we wanted to hook up with chicks, we just decided, well, I'm going to go worry about chicks for a minute. And just forgot about it. For a while.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that would definitely do it. So, is that what happened? You went to prison and then did you do a different type of wrestling then?
No.
Went to prison?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, good to hear. So have you watched any wrestling back since?
A couple things.
I'm curious as to why you have watched.
All right. Anytime that The Rock just makes an appearance, I just love his sense of humor.
So one time in the last 10 years.
Two. Maybe.
Well, before that, this year, correct me if I'm wrong, but before this year, it was 2002, wasn't it, Danny? And Mika, correct me
if I'm wrong. I mean,
2012, sorry, 2012.
I don't keep tabs on that.
Dwayne has been back a couple times, not to actually wrestle, but to entertain and cut promos.
Yep.
Yeah. Cody was talking about appearances, not necessarily matches. That's,
yeah, he was the host of the WrestleMania here in Atlanta, and you know,
that was 2007.
And then he wrestled, you know, a year later, and
a couple of years later.
Yeah, no, it was the one year, and then the 1 year. You know, it's the once in a lifetime, twice in a lifetime.
But he did one this year, within the last year. He introduced the last WrestleMania, I think, but he didn't actually wrestle. But he makes a lot of appearances. One every three years or so.
Yeah, I mean, I remember seeing him at SmackDown in Denver, Colorado this year. The last time I remember seeing him before that, myself personally.
Okay, so who's your WrestleMania favorite wrestler?
WrestleMania of all times, currently, of all times, it is Hulk Hogan.
And don't worry, we give him lots of shit about that, so feel free.
We I mark it up to him not being English person.
Hollywood Hogan. See, Hollywood Hogan is somebody who actually took licks, and a lot of the things that they did back then, they didn't have chairs as fake as they did later, so he actually had to take a lot of those beatings.
That's right, Hulk Hogan was a real wrestler.
Because he was an entertainer, and he wanted people to have a show. So a lot of people that came after Hulk Hogan, and that'd be like making fun of Chuck, what's the other guy?
Chuck Norris.
I mean, how are you going to make fun of somebody who's actually a better fighter than other people?
Because he's a racist. That's pretty much why we make fun of Hulk Hogan, because he's a racist and an asshole. Nobody's
saying he's not a racist. All right. We're just talking about wrestling ability. Okay. He is a racist and probably a bigot, and he's probably a woman beater too. You know, he probably you know, all those. Look, here's the thing. The bad thing about racists is they make us all look bad. It's not just me. It's you too. It's your parents. It's my parents. Racists, they may as well just be gone.
I mean, we would like to hope, but unfortunately, they're still here.
Okay. I mean, how do you feel about Steven Seagal?
He got big.
Okay. He kind of puffed up. Yeah.
How do you feel about Steven Seagal as a person, not the size of his body? Let's talk about him as an individual. Let's not talk about his body.
I don't really follow Steven Seagal as a person, so I don't. I mean, he's like he's into Zen and all that shit, but I don't know anything else apart from. How do you feel about
Trump? All right. Who do you think's a racist? How do you feel about Hitler? What's like certain? Just name people that you think are pieces of shit, because I'm probably gonna agree. We're all gonna agree, you know. So.
We're off on a very deep tangent.
Just name one.
We named one. Hogan. That's Hulk the Hogan. One. As far as wrestling goes, especially wrestling. Yeah. A big name, because you know our most of our topics are wrestling related, but that's one, and that's the one where, you know, you can agree to disagree, because body of work is body of work, but that takes away from the person who is such a scumbag.
Is the biggest scumbag of today. I mean, in any genre, just the biggest piece of crap you could think of, the biggest scumbag. Who do you think?
Oh man.
There's no wrong answer, because I mean anybody could say anything, and you know, but who do you think is the biggest scumbag, waste of breath, just wasting all the air that our kids could use later? Like, who's just breathing in air we need? Just the biggest scumbag right now, right? Breathing the air right now. There's no wrong answer. It's every answer's right. As long as you believe in what you say, there's no wrong answer. And there's no argument. But everybody...
Okay. So, moving on, I don't need to drop out. I want to end my curiosity. So now, you don't watch wrestling, but like if The Rock or somebody like that showed up on your TV, you might, hey, let me tune in.
I love The Rock. He's so funny. I mean, Kevin Hart.
No. Do you watch all? Have you watched all of his movies?
Yeah, I think I've seen every single Rock movie.
At least twice, right?
Or three times, yeah. All day.
No judgment here. I think The Rock was cheated out of an Oscar for The Game Plan, but that's just my opinion. Okay. We're going to continue on here, because we're talking about Ring of Honor Final Battle. Have you ever heard of Ring of Honor, Cody?
No.
Okay. Most of the world hasn't either, but that's okay. Where was I, Ring of Honor? Yeah, okay. Your fourth pre-show match on Ring of Honor. Daniel Garcia versus current GCW champion Blake Christian. Tell me why this match only got 12 minutes. Well, I know why it only got 12 minutes, but why do you put this match on a pre-show?
Because Blake's not signed to AEW. That's pretty much what it comes down to.
That's it.
Yeah. Only one of those guys is signed, so it's basically an enhancement match.
Is Tom Lawler? Is Vert Vixen?
Right, but not all of them are now. All rounds, or was it 12 minutes for just the first? But it can't be 12 minutes for the first.
The whole match was 12 minutes.
What?
No rounds. No rounds.
Blake Christians is not signed, and it's Daniel Garcia. Daniel Garcia is not bad, but his TV time should be limited.
He has little to no charisma, so they're utilizing him in a very limited capacity, which is best for business.
Like, we kick off your Ring of Honor pay-per-view. Okay, another question for you, Cody, since you seem to have a very intriguing view to me of a wrestling fan, or maybe a once upon a time wrestling fan. We're talking 2023, right? The world of streaming. Would you pay $60 to watch a pay per view in 2023? Did we lose Cody?
I think the silence speaks for itself. That's a no.
All right. Okay. Neither would I. El Hijo de Vikingo defeated Block Torres to retain the AAA Mega Championship. Following that up, the Mongol Embassy defeated TMDK to retain the ROH six-man tag team titles.
Was it Zach and or was it
It was Fujita, Tito, and
Goodness. Okay, yeah, that's not their strongest trio. So it makes sense that they lost.
The C team.
Yeah, I'm pretty much. I mean, you got Tito on there, it's the C team. Yeah, it really is.
Mm-hmm. All right.
As in Page. See you next time. Pin me and pay me, kind of. You know.
Ethan Page defeated Tony Nese in an I Quit match.
Very, very confused why those guys are having an I Quit match. But you know, yet again, I don't really watch Ring of Honor, but
nobody sure, does. You have to pay for it. Every damn Ring of Honor thing is a pay-per-view. I'm not paying for it.
Nyla Rose defeated Bert Vixen in 2 minutes.
Yeah, that was pretty much the squash for Nyla's return. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kyle Fletcher defeated Commander, Brian Keith, Lee Moriarty, Dalton Castle, and Lee Johnson in a Survival of the Fittest match to win the vacant ROH TV title. Yep. So
cool on Fletch. I mean, I like Fletcher a lot, but at the same time, like, are they just kind of biding time until Davis is back, or are they pretty much intent on pushing Fletcher as a singles guy? You know, I mean, that's kind of the question. What happens once Mark Davis is back?
They feud against each other. That's
No.
Okay, we'll see.
They're not going to feud against each other, man. The United Empire, man. Come on. Yeah.
Will Ospreay
Ospreay's in the company now. He's not going to let his two guys feud against each other.
Mm-hmm. I bet you if the check is big enough.
No.
Okay.
Apparently, here's the thing. Apparently, Impact offered Ospreay more money than AEW did as far as a flat money rate. But yet again, it probably, you know, part, so it shows you that money isn't necessarily the driving force, because yes, he would get more money, you know, on the top, but you know, there's less eyes, less exposure, you know, potentially less merchandise sales if less people are seeing what you're doing, less, you know, whatever portion of the deal you may be receiving in ticket sales or who knows what. So it's shows you that money isn't necessarily the driving force, because it's out there, and he chose to go play with his friends instead.
Mm-hmm. it better than playing himself, but yeah.
I mean, he can do that too. I mean, there's nothing wrong about that.
Okay? Y'all are stealing my gimmick, but okay, go ahead.
I mean, you haven't been in a while. I mean,
yeah, we've had to pick up the slack with your absence. Yeah. So,
okay.
Apologize if we're stepping on your shit, but you know,
you weren't here.
You weren't here. We got into our own rhythm. We gave the gimmick to somebody else, brother. We sold it off.
I see. Go ahead.
You're gonna have to be MIKA. You know, all capital letters, a period after each one, because we sold you gimmick.
Yeah.
Meek, we got another Mika coming in. Okay.
Yeah.
She's at the PC right now.
Damn.
Yeah. You can be Mika villain.
There you go.
Yeah, because
with two E's.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, there's not even an E in my name.
Oh. No, but you got to change the name because we own that name now, and we give it to somebody else.
And you're not Mika with two K's because three K's would not be good.
Oh. Yeah, we don't want to start.
Yeah. We don't want to make you controversial. I mean, you're already controversial. We don't need that type of content.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah, we added another K in your name. Okay, where was I? Kyle Fletcher. Yeah, wins. Great for him. United Empire continues to, you know, do everything all over.
Crowns up.
All right. Next up, the Pure Wrestling titles on the line. And your judges, Christopher Daniel, Jerry Lynn, and Jimmy Jacobs. Wheeler Utah defeats Tom Lawler to retain the title. So, interesting.
I mean, again, that wouldn't have been my choice, but Lawler's not yet signed with the Elite. I think Lawler's pretty much a free agent, right? Like his contract with New Japan kind of ran up, and he's just kind of been free agenting, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I didn't really see much of what he's been doing, other than he was a big part of Strong until. Strong decided to turn into a replace of pay per views.
Yeah. Well, he dropped the belt to Rosser, and then then he came to Japan to do the G1. And then he went back to Strong, and he was kind of working, tag matches and stuff with Team Filthy. And I think Team Filthy, at least he and Isaac's and he and the West Coast Wrecking Crew are still teaming together sometimes at various places, but I think Kratos is pretty much with NWA, and he kind of left Team Filthy behind for some pumpkin smashing.
I'm not sure. I mean, my biggest question I would say is he still a part of MLW? I mean, I know that he.
That's true. I think he's been doing shows with them now that I think about it. I think he's been featured more recently because they've had a few people leave.
They created a career stable called the World Titan Federation.
He's part of that. Yeah, you're right. He's part of that.
Yeah. Which they actually lost Alex Hammerstone. Apparently, he's now officially out of the company.
Okay. Well, I know so they were apparently, kind of like he had asked for his release some time ago, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he asked.
And they were like, let's let you sit out your contract.
Yeah, he disappeared and he came back and they said he was giving his release and he signed with
he quote unquote signed with the heel stable.
Then apparently he just had a match and they announced that's be his last match with the company. So I think they try to keep him and they work, but yeah. I don't know. Alex Hammerstone, I mean, that's a guy that when healthy and gets stuff together, I mean, that's a guy that the kind of guy that makes Vince McMahon's, you know, thing tinkle a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if he were a few inches taller, yeah, Vince would be creaming his jeans over that guy. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see where he goes. Another free agent. Yeah. Okay. Next up, Keith Lee defeated Shane Taylor as he should. Then in the Jay Briscoe Memorial Fight Without Honor, we have them top guys, is what they call FTR and Mark Briscoe, against the Blackpool Combat Club, Daniel Bryan Danielson, John Moxley, and Claudio Castagnoli. Yeah. So, just a match, a tribute, paying tribute to, you know, Jay Briscoe, and you know, I think, I mean, it was a great match, probably my favorite match of the night, but yeah, it was, someone said in the, I asked Matt Briscoe if he was going to continue to team out with FTR, maybe go for this six-man tag. And I think right now they're like, no, let's let Mark do his single thing because he's never gotten the chance to do his single run. So, yeah, we're not part of the Continental. Continental.
Still working his Continental Classic, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Next up, Eddie Kingston defeated Anthony Henry. This is a proving ground match. So, Henry needed to last 10 minutes to earn a shot at the ROH World title. But he did not last those 10 minutes, so he doesn't get a title shot. In your main event of the evening, Athena defeated Billy Starks to retain the ROH Women's World title. Billy Starks turning 19 years old a few days before the show, unless you're Tony Khan, who still thought she was 18.
Well, you know, it's, I mean, maybe he's eyeing her because she was 18. I don't know.
No, anyways, whatever. Yeah, so your main event, you know, great to see the women main eventing a pay-per-view. You know,
I mean, it was almost a 30-minute match.
Yeah, and I like how they built it. You know, it was like, you know, it wasn't something.
It was a slow build together, right? Over several months. Yeah, yeah. And, had them. Yeah,
I will say the way they presented Athena has been great. You know, I feel like, you know, once she got moved up to the main roster with WWE, they really dropped the ball there, because, you know, we know what Athena can do, and I'll give kudos when they are deserved. And I'll say with Athena, they've done really well, and yeah, this pay-per-view match in the main event. Kudos for them. And I mean, I'm sorry, but Billy's stock's already really high right now, and putting her in this in the spot definitely helps it a lot. But in the state of Ring of Honor, I would say while it's a great achievement for her and it's a big deal, I think there needs to be more focus on Billy in order to get her to the next level.
Yep.
Well, I mean, she's, you know, yeah, but at the same time, they're doing with Billy in Ring of Honor what they want, what they're supposed to be doing. You know, Ring of Honor is essentially their NXT. So you bring them up, you give them some matches, you give them some bigger shine and all this, etc. Let them get additional experience wrestling in the television atmosphere that you guys are providing. And then when you feel they're ready, you push them towards a championship or move them to, you know, quote unquote, the main roster.
Yeah, well, I definitely feel like Billy Starks needs more eyes on her. She's not gonna get those in Ring of Honor. The same people who watch Ring of Honor are the same people who already are worried watching her now.
I mean, pretty much, yeah. But I think this was also kind of a like a test for her, them to test her to see if she could perform the way they want her to. And so, yes, you know, she of course, you know, met and hopefully exceeded the expectations they had. And so hopefully that means that, yeah, she will be getting, you know, moving into bigger things.
See, this is a blown opportunity for Ring of Honor, as far as I'm concerned. Billy Starks just turned 19 a couple days, like you said, before this match. Had they done, in my opinion, the right thing and put the title on Billy, Billy is not one of these people fresh out of somebody's PC who's never had a match before. The girl has been wrestling since she's 14 years old. She's been virtually everywhere across this country and I believe overseas too, wrestling. Had they put this title on her, that would have been news. They could have put that on Sports Illustrated. They could have put that in any major news outlet covering this youngest world champion ever. She would have been the youngest age-wise to date if they had let her win a title. That would have helped not just Billy's career, but it would have helped Ring of Honor in general because they would have gotten more people talking about them, more eyes trying to tune in, more people going, oh, there's wrestling and there's this young girl that's a, you know, a title holder. Let's see what this is about. That was a blown opportunity for them. Athena, yeah, she's good. She's a veteran XYZ, but nobody's tuning in. Nobody's going to talk about Athena's title run. Had they put the title on Billy, that would have been their bread and butter and gotten more people to subscribe, to tune in, more importantly, to talk about them on social media platforms and major broadcast platforms.
Yeah. I mean, you know, nobody ever claimed that Tony Khan was a good businessman, okay? I mean, nobody who's actually intelligent has ever claimed that Tony Khan's a good businessman. Let's put it that way. I see that absolutely. Whether, you know, but I, you know, apparently they're that ain't for you, Daddy. That's for somebody else. Yeah. They go in a different direction right now.
I wonder if Cody knows who Tony Khan is, but you know, if he ever returns, Cody, let us know if you know who Tony Khan is. Okay, that was Ring of Honor. Final battle.
Yep. There is Cole in it.
Yeah. we lost him on Ring of Honor.
Yeah, he was like, "What? Huh? What?"
Cody, you
The Rock's not involved.
Yeah, you tweet us at FOW Ready. I'm feeling really nice right now. If you're on X, send us an X. Xing? Is it Xing? I don't know.
They just call them a post or whatever.
Yeah, send us a post at FOW Radio. Tell us when your birthday week is, and we'll do a watch along of a Rock match of your choice. And yeah, thankfully for the guys, he will be from 1994, so we should.
I don't think I'm available that week.
You are available that week. You're doing it for Cody, not for yourself. Okay. Stop being so selfish. All right. Where was I? Okay, so post pay-per-view.
Yes.
Tony Khan goes into Tony Khan mode. Again, this is why he needs to stop talking. And then he's tweeting later on, but uh He said a lot. He talked about AEW always being under attack. About how every time they do something great, break records, have the best shows, have the best matches, which he's been spending a lot of time with Tony Schiavone, because maybe it's the thing about your name being Tony, you just get excited about it, because I see him tweeting how every show is the best show they've ever had. I'm like, bro,
it's the hype train, brother. It's the hype train.
Talking about everybody's always negative. You do five. I'm quoting. You do five great shows. Somebody has said something negative. You break a ticket record for the most tickets sold for any wrestling show in the history of the world. He will always remind you of that. And somebody has something bad to say about it. I'm sorry, but CM Punk's beating the crap out of, you know, the Jungle Boy is going to be something people are going to talk about, you know?
People like the scandal and the backstage and the, you know, all that shit. Gets people talking. People just go, oh, cool, they sold a lot of tickets. Good job. And then they move on to something exciting. You know, I hate to say, yeah, that's cool, good job, but, like, that's not exciting. We can't really talk about that a lot. We just go, oh, yeah, they did it. Cool, good job.
I even prefaced when we first talked, when this first happened. It's like, look, they had the greatest, most successful show they've ever had. And unfortunately, he got mirrored by what two wrestlers did backstage.
Yeah,
I never blamed Tony or AEW. It just happened to happen.
Likes to get in that defense mode, which is hilarious, because, you know, it's he talks out of both sides of his mouth, man. He's like, oh, they always attack us all the time, and then he's like, oh yeah, WWE, poor WWE, and the first time John Cena and The Undertaker have ever been on a television program below a million views. Oh no, poor them, the end of an era. Like, he's taking shots at them too. And then he's like, oh, they always take shots at us. They always, like, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just talking, man. It's all talk, and he's all talk, and I guess, it, you know, his people like it. They buy into it, and they're eating his shit with a spoon. I mean, that's, you know, you get, as long as you keep those, that core group happy, you know, you could still lose $23 million a year. You know, good job.
Yeah.
You sold a fuck ton of tickets, but you still didn't even break even for the year. Cool.
Yeah, he goes on about calling X an echo chamber. There's a lot of people on Twitter, and there's a lot of bad faith in what people post. But I'm like, bro, you're like number one in that. You get so defensive about everything. Yeah,
he's definitely a prime contributor to that shit.
Yeah, I mean, people are gonna crap on something you did, or that's fine. People crap on stuff that you lead us all the time. You know what I mean? Do you think Vince McMahon ever, you know, paid attention to Twitter? I mean, he even wrote his own Twitter account. So, you know, I mean, if Vince McMahon cared about what people said, Vince McMahon would not have become a billionaire. No, Vince McMahon did whatever the heck he wanted and built his empire however he wanted. He had his own vision. He decided to create sports entertainment. And, yeah. He goes on to talk about fighting, you know, this, you know, I'm misquoting now, but.
Oh, yeah, he calls himself the only fighter in wrestling or some shit.
He's leading the fight as the head of the largest wrestling brand in pro wrestling. Second largest. Yeah, and he talked about, you know, Jim Crockett fought the fight, Vern Gagne fought the fight, Ted Turner fought the fight. Yeah, they ran out of money, okay? And that's what they stopped. If they, you know, they decided to call it quit. Well, for Ted Turner, he kind of he kind of got booted out, but that's a whole different story. But yeah, unfortunately, these other guys did not have the gazillion millions of dollars that Tony has. Excuse me. So, you know, they lacked the resources. You know, but him talking about, you know, God bless them all, and he's doing all of this for them. He's and uh-huh. they are with him in spirit.
Oh yeah, yep.
I mean, the kid sounds delusional.
I mean, he does a lot of drugs. Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't understand why he goes on these rants. Just like, man, if you had a good show, you're claiming you're doing better numbers for Ring of Honor, you know, in comparison to what it used to be before. I don't know that, right? I'm like,
yeah,
he's tooting his horn quite a lot. I'm like, dude, if you're happy with the success you're having, stop paying attention to what people have to say, right? You know, keep your house in order. Continue to make your people happy.
Well, you know, that should be the top priority, you know, is keeping your house in order so that you can make fucking money instead of sitting here and complaining about every little thing and trying to make yourself seem like some great avenging hero.
If the people paying to watch your product are happy, who cares about what the people who are not paying are saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much definitely Vince's strategy was always, yeah. You know, hey, these, you know, my paying people are happy. So that's all you need to worry about. Keep them happy.
Yeah. So, well, whether they're happy or not, as long as they're paying.
Well, yeah, more importantly, yes.
Yeah, Vince McMahon would never. As
they are paying.
Vince McMahon would never ask people to give him their feedback on how they like stuff because he didn't care. Like
no, yeah. Oh, we always listen to the WWE Universe.
Yeah. So, all right, but other than that, I mean, it was a really fun show. There was a lot of pluses. I think, again, too long way, but that's just my thing. People, you know, the Friday nights, you know, they have a lot of free time to do stuff. Yeah, that was Rumor. Now, on the heels of Final Battle, we got a Collision this weekend, and I don't know if it was Collision or Rampage. I can't keep track. But Thunder Rosa made her return.
All right. I feel like it's been a long time since she... I mean, she's been out with some kind of undisclosed injury for a while and all that stuff.
Yeah. On Collision this past... Saturday, I think.
I think it was Saturday.
Julia Hart and Sky Blue were teaming up and beating up on Abaddon. And Thunder Rosa.
Thunder Rosa came out to help Abaddon? Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Don't see her and Abaddon being friends, but, you know, whatever.
Well, and I don't think they were, but...
Wrestling's, you know, wrestling.
Common enemies, right?
I guess. I mean, is she enemies with Julia Hart and Sky Blue?
Apparently now she is. Okay. Yeah, so Thunder Rosa's back. Then this Saturday, they're going to team up. Abaddon and Thunder Rosa against Sky Blue and Julia Hart. So, yeah. I mean, when Collision first came out, you know, she was advertised as part of the show, of course, because that's when they threw all the nomads.
Yeah, all the problem children. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, pretty much. Smeek is still with us.
I don't think she's with us on the talk, but she's in the chat.
Yeah. I'm right, here.
Oh, there she is.
Oh,
Mika, Thunder Rosa is back.
Who's gonna find you? Who's gonna find you?
You know, she's. I mean, I wouldn't say she's controversial, but she's made reasons for people to talk about her. I mean, you think here she's gonna blend in well with the rest of the women's roster?
Thunder Rosa is a polarizing figure in women's wrestling. Yeah, so she's back, and it's going to be interesting to see who she works with going forward and to see how that locker room reacts to her. There has been lots said about her and Britt Baker, but let's just see if we can put these things behind us and make money, because that's what they're there to do. She's been gone for a long time, so maybe it's kind of a let bygones be bygones type of situation. And we'll maybe not see her in immediate championship matches. Maybe she's got to work her way back up the line. But it's going to be interesting to watch to see exactly how she moves and how the other girls move around her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, she supposedly had, kind of got a little bit on the wrong side of, the click or whatever, but then she kind of did a lot of shit to herself that got the fans turned against her, like, shoot turned against her, got the locker room turned against her again in different ways and stuff, so it's, some of it is just them being clicky. And some of them is, is her doing stupid shit and people, calling her out on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key. Is she going to be able to be humble pie? Because she did a whole lot of shit, like you said, to herself, or shit she did that people caught her on. And it's a business, yes, but there are so many egos involved, hers included, that it's going to be boiled down to who's going to be like, okay, I'm the bigger person, or, hey, I was wrong.
Yeah.
We know Tony's is not, he's not the best at taking care of these HR-related problems. So, yeah.
All right. Lastly here, before we move on, AEW, Ring of Honor announced a women's TV championship. I mean, not that the women don't need another championship, but a TV championship requires to have TV. That's something AEW, well, does. I mean, Ring of Honor doesn't have.
No, but they have a men's TV championship, so of course we got to have a women's TV championship as your secondary title. And yet again, that's all fine and well, but you know my stance on just adding fucking belts to add fucking belts. It overall devalues the importance of every other fucking belt when you got 30 fucking belts. And that's pretty much what they do. They just keep adding fucking championships, We're taking, we're that coat, the Coastal Continental Classic or whatever is supposed to be creating a new Triple Crown, Mm-hmm. Now we're probably going to have another tournament and we just had the Survival of the Fittest to crown the vacant ROH TV Championship. Now we're probably going to have some kind of tournament or four-way match or something to crown the first ever ROH Women's TV Championship, Just keep doing fucking tournaments, keep giving out fucking belts, and, keep hyping, your big announcements and surprise, maybe they'll show up, maybe they won't, and, I mean, that's pretty much what the company lives on.
Yeah.
Their biggest ratings getter is a huge announcement from fucking Tony. And it's usually something not huge.
Yeah. Well, Scott D'Amore over in TNA is apparently following that formula, because they're teasing a big signing on and to be announced at Hard to Kill.
So. Yeah. Well, I will take it when TNA does it because they don't do it every other fucking week. You know, here's the, just the same way as the championships, you know? You essentially devalue the value of the surprise big announcement when you do one every other week, and most of them aren't even, like, quote-unquote, as big as you want people to think they are. Mm-hmm. You know? So if TNA is going to do one, to me that means it is going to be something big for them. And whether this is a huge, you know, industry-shifting signing or not, it's somebody who they're going to bring in and push as a major player. Talking and thinking over some of the free agents right now, people who would quote unquote be able to fill this supposed big role. I think their big signing is Dolph Ziggler. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think a lot of the things appeal to him, you know, the limited schedule. You know, he could come right in and they would move him right into big programs and right into title programs, whatever he wanted to do. They're probably more than happy to accommodate. And the limited schedule allows him time to go do, you know, whatever else he wants to do, whether it's comedy or do some acting or, you know, do a lot of, you know, his streaming and you know, podcasts or whatever, all that stuff. It gives him more than enough time to do that. It gives him weekend time. So if he does, in fact, want to take bookings, you know, for conventions or for, you know, the wrestling promotions, it gives him the opportunity to do that. So to me, I think Dolph is their biggest thing. And that would be that would be a big signing for them, as given the track record of what they've been able to do with, you know, people who, you know, basically what AEW promises to do to every single person they bring in. Oh, he's underappreciated where he is. So we're going to bring him in and we're going to make him a star. You know, TNA does it more sparingly and they do it with stronger results. So if you bring in Ziggler, they're going to make Ziggler feel like he's a big fucking deal. They're going to make him feel like he's a top level competitor. And he might even leave TNA being with more value in the industry, you know, similar to Christian, similar to Sting, you know, essentially made his return to wrestling through TNA. You know, Kurt Angle, you know, extended his legacy in this sport, you know, thanks to Impact. You know, the Hardy Boys went to Impact, and that's where the Broken Matt character came about, and, you know, the Brother Nero and all that shit, because Impact allowed them the freedom to do these kind of things and try some other things. And they eventually raised their stock in the industry and extended their legacy. So I can see Ziggler doing that. You know, some of the only other big free agents that I could think of are seemingly have other paths set. You know, other places they seem to be going. Doesn't mean they will, but they seem to have other places. We haven't really heard anything about what Ziggler's next move may be, which is why I think he's their big announcement. And yet again, I think that would be awesome. I think he would have a lot of good matches with a lot of hardworking talent on that roster.
Mm-hmm.
It would just be hopefully he can help them as much as they help him, you know, into getting more eyes on the product, into getting better distribution. Either, you know, I mean, they're working on this new streaming, you know, thing, the TNA Plus, where it'll be, you know, streaming through TKO Holdings. You know, they're one of their host sites. So that's already, you know, big. You just got to keep moving it. And I think, you know, adding somebody like Ziggler, I think could help do that. And they could, you know, use the buzz that's created to help usher in some new, hopefully, distribution deals for them.
Right. Well, timing purpose, I mean, Hard to Kill is January 3rd, 20th, January 13th. So far, great show on that. With Trinity versus Jordan Grace, Alex Shelley versus Moose, Chris Sabin versus El Hijo de Vikingo versus Kushida. But The former Dolph Ziggler is scheduled to be making his return to the ring January 20th at the WWC in Puerto Rico.
Oh, okay. Well, so, they could still announce him and him just have a video thing. He doesn't have to be there in person.
Right. Yeah. There's definitely way he could be doing that, absolutely. But he does have, and obviously I think, TNA would definitely let him do some shows here and there as well. So calling himself, the most wanted man, Nick Namath. He is scheduled to be in Puerto Rico on January 20th, but that's what's next for him. But that doesn't mean he can't sign with anyone else in the meantime. That would be a great addition and a huge get for TNA, especially as they're rebranding. Moving on, looks like good news for you, Danny. Davey Boy Smith Jr. is back from injury.
I'll find you one of these days, you son of a bitch.
But he won't be anytime soon because December 31st, he'll be in Japan as he'll be teaming up with Minoru Suzuki and Hokuto Omori at All Japan's show on Christmas Eve. So
a little bit of a Suzuki Goon.
Yeah, a semi reunion of Suzuki Goon there. This is Harry's debut
for All Japan Pro Wrestling. Okay, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I mean they were together in New Japan and in Pro Wrestling Noah as part of Suzuki Goon. So. Yeah, great to hear that he is back,
Yeah. Is he still contracted to MLW primarily?
He is, but you never know with those MLW contracts.
Yeah. These days.
Apparently, WWE and MLW just settled their antitrust suit, so, not sure exactly how that will affect any wrestlers that want to go somewhere, but there was a whole issue with MLW accusing WWE of a monopoly and also how trying to take their wrestlers away from them. Which, come on, bro! You were literally feeding WWE wrestlers a few years ago, and let's be honest, Tony Khan has made has now taking away this whole monopoly, thing from WWE. There's no monopoly,
Another brief moment for MLW. Satoshi Kojima is coming back to MLW. Former MLW champion coming back to MLW for the first time in, I would assume, several years. I believe he'll be in January or February, can't quite remember. But he is actually fighting one of Patrick's favorites in the Callahan Death Machine, Sami Callihan. But I just thought that was really cool to have Kojima back in MLW.
He was one of the originals.
To me, he was definitely a guy who helped, keep the eyes on MLW, because basically MLW was kind of trying to be the fallout of what ECW was. We're going to run the same areas. We're going to use a lot of the same talent. We're going to run a similar product. And yet again, one of the things ECW did was use international stars, and Kojima was, was a champion there. As they were kind of building the identity that they would, hold for longer, Carino and the Extreme Horsemen and those kind of things. So, and very interesting to see him make a return there.
Yeah. All right, let's see here. What we've got going on, a few things before we get over to close out with like some daily news. Okay, Tony Khan talked about that. He was asked about the Warner Brothers Discovery relationship due to these rumors with WWE. And, you know, he had nothing but great things to say. They were, you know, racially very strong. But, of course, they're doing their due diligence, which I take it to say Warner Brothers is probably looking for the best deal for them. And, yeah, AEW now has to wait and see if they want to continue that relationship. Interesting. How all of a sudden Warner Brothers is interested in the league, but of course they also have the new NBA TV rights deal next year, I think, coming up. So they also got to make sure they focus on that. They're all over the place. Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. Kenny Omega is out indefinitely. He apparently had some type of surgery. I don't know.
Hangnail or something, you know, whatever.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, I mean, listen, Kenny's one of those guys who, you know, whether you like him or hate him, he was always out there putting his body to the max, and whether he was in great, you know, condition or in the worst pain, and he just couldn't get to the pain anymore, and so he had to have surgery and get something fixed, so he'll be out indefinitely. What will that mean for the number one contenders to the AEW World Tag Team titles? I'm not sure. Because I think they had a match scheduled for World's End against Ricky Starks and Big Bill, but not sure that's going to happen. Time would tell. Huge news also coming out of Japan as a new, not promotion, but a new coalition, a group has been formed, the United Japan Pro Wrestling. And this is a collective of 9 promotions: New Japan Pro Wrestling, All Japan Pro Wrestling, Pro Wrestling Noah, DDT, Ganbare, Big Japan, Dragon Gate, Stardom, and Tokyo Yoshi Pro Wrestling are the original 9. There could be more added to this.
Yeah, they're from what the press release said, they're looking to add, you know, continue adding additional promotions. I don't really know yet what it's going to entail. Like, are they going to start trading talent on a consistent basis? Are they just going to run, you know, some super shows where you have multiple companies featured? I mean, several of those companies are already working together.
Yeah.
DDT, Noah, Ganbare, and TJPW are all part of the Wrestle Universe streaming. You know, so DDT wrestlers and TJPW, they're pretty much, you know, brother and sister promotion. Noah, they also feature. Ganbare is kind of more their independent, but they're all on there together. And then, of course, Bushiroad owns Stardom and New Japan Pro Wrestling, and they promised they would be working, you know, trying to work together more and more and more. I'm very interested to see what it is, what all comes out of it. Similar to working here, you know, promotions working here in the U.S., you know, the fans are the winners, and hopefully the companies can all benefit and prosper, together. You start mixing rosters and this kind of thing, and yeah, ultimately it's the fans who win on that.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen New Japan Pro Wrestling and Pro Wrestling Noah work together, to put a card together, you know, what they call like a Wrestle Kingdom second, third part this year, last year. And now here we go. We got all this. I mean, they already have one show scheduled, Nippon Budokan, on May 6th, 2024, where the promotions will put in a show together to showcase their talent. Yeah, I mean, it's great. I like the what they're doing. We're talking like from the biggest to the smallest companies, right? Because I mean, you would think New Japan Pro Wrestling needs no one. You know, they can stand their own work together. They don't need to work with other companies to bring more exposure to their brand. But this is bigger than a brand. This is about a country coming together, and they want their mission is not to enhance a brand, but to enhance the presence of pro wrestling and the Japanese culture to a larger, you know, audience. So I think that is definitely a great reason. These promotions coming together and putting on together shows and probably doing other things together for the betterment of the pro wrestling sport and also, you know, representing their country, I think is definitely, it's something that, you know, I give them props for because, you know, they're putting egos aside and they're trying to work on something. Which is what, like the name, right? United Japan Pro Wrestling. It's not about any one brand. It's about them coming together, being united, putting Japan Pro Wrestling first. So yeah, we'll see. May 6th will be their first show together, and we'll see what else they have to announce. But yeah, it'll be very interesting who else they add and how it comes up. But great things. All right, moving on. WWE, a few things here. First off, we had a title change this past Monday. Kayne Carter and Katana Chance are your new women's tag team champions. They defeated Chelsea Green and Paper Niven on Monday Night Raw. I didn't expect that one, but...
No, but, you know, you can't have heel versus heel. So in order to get the championships to the Kabuki Warriors, you gotta have the interim babyface champ, you know, the babyface title holder to...
Transitional champions.
Transitional champions, which is, I assume, what they'll be. They'll probably hold it a few weeks and then drop it to Kabuki Warriors, which is it's 100% my guess.
Yeah. What else? Sorry, the Royal Rumble is coming up. We'll be talking more about that next year as we go along. But we got Cody, CM Punk. I feel like a bunch of other names have put their names for the show. But yeah, that's getting starting to look like it's getting already. Orton's not joined it. This past Friday night, we saw Randy Orton in the main event, defeating Jimmy Uso. But more quiet, but also big news, the return of the phenomenal one, AJ Styles. He comes out and helps out Randy Orton and LA Knight. Oh, Eric's not here. Yeah. Against the Bloodline, but then AJ attacks LA Knight and then walks off. I think AJ has a lot of explaining to do this Friday.
He will, you know, and LA is going to make him do some splaining whether he wants to or not. Los Angeles doesn't take that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's So that's the thing. I mean, AJ being back, that's I mean, we keep talking about how loaded the, you know, the top tier of the wrestlers in WWE are right now. With just in the last 12 months, you know, the elevation of Vinny Vane, Jey Uso, you know, the return of CM Punk, everybody coming, you know, Randy Orton, AJ Styles coming out of, you know,
I mean, Cody back, you know,
Drew back. I mean, it's just like it's crazy how many top guys you have. Of course, you know, you have, you know, Roman Reigns, you are undisputed Universal Champion. You have you know, Gunther, just, you know, continuing to dominate over 500 days as Intercontinental Champion. You know, it's just the way that, you know, I think that the way that it has been done is just like, right now they really need to capitalize on the fact that they have older guys out there. I mean, it's a good problem to have. I mean, AEW, I think, I'll say this, they really do a great job of having a lot of their top guys available. The only thing I would say is that, you know, unfortunately, not everybody's always featured, which is a great problem to have. So it'll be interesting how the WWE does it, because obviously they can't give everybody time. So, yeah. But, yeah. Other than that, WWE, you know, they had a deal with Major League Baseball on their signature championship belts. They recently struck a deal with the NFL on those, on the championship belts, both available Fanatics.
Except the Jacksonville.
Jacksonville Jaguars. Yeah, that was not available. And from what I hear, next up is the NHL. Apparently,
Something fans of hockey are really clamoring for is WWE belts featuring their favorite team.
WWE sends out a belt to every sporting team that wins a championship these days, hockey included. So, you know,
is it custom to the team, or they just send them like here's a WWE championship?
They send them a WWE championship with the side plates of their of the championship. So they basically make a belt with two different sets of side plates, and whichever team wins, they put on the side plates and
slap on the side plates and mail it to the star player or whatever, so he can pose with it for social media and photo ops and what have you.
Yeah, the other one gets sent back somewhere with all the t-shirts that they printed for the losing team.
Sent overseas is the rumor.
Yeah, donate those for a good cause. That's a big get, right? I mean, you have diehards who will spend whatever money. I mean, for WWE to continue to expand this licensing deal, for the championship.
I mean, they must be making money from it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they wouldn't keep trying to make more.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, very, very interesting news. I don't know if this is good news or bad news, depending on who you are and how much you like or dislike Rich Holland, but he has announced he is back on NXT. So he has returned to NXT.
They don't need to put him on television. They just need him training to not injure people. I mean, just have him stop doing that overhead belly to belly for starters. Just say no. Dude, you're not allowed to do that move anymore.
Well, let's see. Judgment Day. How funny. The skits with R-Truth have been funny. You know, R-Truth acting like he's a member of Judgment Day. So apparently, he had a match against... what's his name?
JD McDonagh.
And they ended up making it a the loser leaves The Judgment Day. R-Truth defeated J.D. McDonough. But no, J.D. McDonough is not getting kicked out of Judgment Day.
So he's not upholding the stipulation of the match he signed to. That's bullshit.
Well, technically he didn't sign on it. It was Damian Priest who agreed on that. Verbally agreed. So he verbally undid it himself. You know what I mean? He is the quote-unquote leader of Judgment Day. Of course, they still have no singular belts. They still have the two championships, and they successfully defended those championships against the Creed brothers. They remain your tag team champions. We'll see who actually beats them for the belt. So
it'll be CM Punk and Kofi Kingston.
They did. They have a little backstage reunion.
Former two-time tag team champions.
Yeah.
They got to come back. Kofi's got to bust out his old music. I hear them countdown. I hear them crying. And the boom, and all that. He's got to bring that back just for Punk.
So
Jamaican accent.
They're at least bringing back Day One. But not in the way that they had it in the past. So obviously, Day One was a pay-per-view they had January 1st on, I think it was a Sunday. Saturday or Sunday, I can't remember.
Whichever day of the week January 1st was.
Yeah, I had just recovered from the COVID, so I wasn't, it's blurry. I was there, Day One. So this tier, January 1st lands on a Monday. So, next Monday, the 25th, WWE will not be, having a live show. They probably have
just going to air them probably their best of the year.
Best
of the year of kind of thing.
Which kudos to them for finally giving people some time off during the holidays.
It's very nice of Triple H.
Yeah. So yeah, no live show next week. By 2 weeks, they're gonna kick off 2024 with WWE Day One, and it's quite the show. Becky Lynch versus Nia Jax 1-on-1. Tegan Knox.
We don't want that match. We don't need that match.
Tegan Knox and Natalya versus Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark. In a number one contenders match, now that there's new champions, you know, let's get ahead of the new challengers.
Yeah.
Rhea Ripley will be defending her championship against Ivy Nile. And Seth Rollins. Ivy Nile
was working her way into a championship opportunity, but good on her.
Well, you know, Judgment Day and Creed and the Diamond Mine have been, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so
forgot that. Yeah, they've been turning the tag wheels and stuff.
And Seth Rollins will be defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Drew McIntyre.
So since it's a Monday, is it essentially just a themed episode of Raw?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of title matches. That's good. I mean, that's sometimes more title matches than you get on a premium live event.
Yeah. I mean, you're basically getting a PLE style show.
Yeah, show on that Monday. Yeah, it's interesting though.
But let's be honest, it's January 1st. You know,
yeah,
it's a holiday. You know, people tend to watch less TV on holidays sometimes.
The thing is, with New Year's, the holiday, the more holiday aspect is New Year's Eve, not New Year's Day. So it might be affected as far as watching. It might not. I mean, most people do everything New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. You're quote unquote recovering, and or you're sleeping in, or you know you're going back to work. You know, so I think a lot of people it's just fallen back to the routine. So viewership may be affected. Viewership might not be. We'll just have to see, I guess.
Let's also not forget that we're into the college football bowl season. Okay. So
that are there means bowl are there bowl games scheduled for that day?
They are.
Okay.
So that could be part of it too.
January 1st is one of the bigger, I think, if I remember correctly,
Is the Rose Bowl on January 1st?
On January 1st, well, they have a bunch of bowls, but on January 1st, they will have the Fiesta Bowl, the Citrus Bowl, the Rose Bowl. Rose Bowl, of course, a big one there. Alabama versus Michigan. The Old State Sugar Bowl, Texas versus Washington. So those are like basically the final four. So you got your top four teams in college football playing against each other. The winners, of course, facing off a week later in the college football championship national championship game.
Are those games in the evening, or it's like one in the afternoon, one in the evening kind of thing?
The Rose Bowl is at 5 p.m. Eastern. Okay. The Sugar Bowl is at 8:45 p.m. Eastern.
Ah, okay. So that could also be why they're trying to stack the show then, to try and make you be like, hey, man, you can't miss this just because other sports are happening.
Yeah. Of course,
wrestling doesn't have an off season, brother. Yeah. You got to watch year round.
Mm-hmm. Now, Eric's team, Alabama, will be playing at 5 p.m. So, he may be still able to watch Roy if he wants to. He may not, depending on how long that game goes. But, yeah. So, it's a big day for college football. And there are a lot of people who watch college football. It's always a weird date, but it happens that generally every 6 or 7 years is when they have to deal with this. So definitely making it a big show. And day one is kind of a thing that they started a couple of years ago, and they're sticking to it. It's kind of a neat thing, right? It's day one is that how you get everything started. So. Yeah,
where it all begins again.
Again and again and again. So yeah, stack show. For us, this will be our last show of the year. We'll be taking next week off to get through the holidays. Give us a break. Make sure, and the goal is also for all the missing episodes to be uploaded for people to listen. We'll come back hopefully in 2 weeks. My hope is that we're able to get together somehow and have our annual in-person show. I don't know how that's all going to work, logistically speaking. But, it's TBD. We get to have this wonderful conversations offline, but we'll have our annual show where we kind of look back at the year that was and look forward to the next year. And of course, go from there. And obviously there's always something else to talk about, like always, because this pro wrestling thing is just, it's just a beautiful thing. So, So for everyone listening, thank you for listening. Thank you for spending some time with us. Make sure you follow us on X. I'm doing this the other side, way around. That's okay. Follow us on the X at FOW Radio. Danny's on X at Danny F in Danger. Mika's on X at Mika Villas. Eric's on X at EJ423X. I'm on X at Yellowman PA. Follow us, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Spotify, Amazon Music, and anywhere you listen to podcasts. Subscribe, take a listen to some of our old shows. Some of them are really fun. So, we're recorded. And thank you all for your support. Have a happy holidays. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.